test is something of a classic of psychology given to children. It ostensibly measures their self-control, but the theory goes it also indicates how that child might do in later life. Now the marshmallow test has been given something of a reboot. On the line is Celeste Kidd, a PhD candidate from the University of Rochester in the US. Good afternoon, Celeste.
Hi.
Could you describe for us what the, if you like, the classic marshmallow test is? What happens?
Sure. So in the classic marshmallow experiments, kids were given a choice. They were told they could either have one treat now, so for example, a marshmallow, or if they could wait until the experimenter left the room and came back, if they hadn't eaten that first treat, they could have two instead. And actually, it was a little bit of a trick. So experimenters were waiting to see how long it was. Kids would wait before eating the first marshmallow up till 15 minutes.
Mm. So I suppose were they capable of delayed gratification?
Little kids, so the 3-year-olds, is like not so much. So in the original version of the experiments, pretty much all the little kids ate it very quickly. It was 75% ate it before the 15-minute timeout. They didn't appear. This was taken as evidence that very young kids are not capable of controlling their impulses. They just don't have the executive functions required yet.
But then was that connected with perhaps if they did it with slightly older children in terms of personality traits that those children had?
Right. So a common interpretation of the original studies was that the ability to delay gratification is important for succeeding in life. And the reason that is because it turns out that children who waited longer in the original set of marshmallow studies, so these are studies done in Stanford in the 60s and 70s, went on to accomplish all sorts of good things in life. So they got higher SAT scores, had more friends, lower body fat. There was a study that came out recently saying that they have better credit scores. this was taken that the presumption is that children who fail to wait possess some sort of deficiency in willpower and had a more difficult time achieving stuff in life.
Wow. I mean, that's extrapolating a hell of a lot from one test.
Yes. Well, there have been, a number of these studies. We were interested in exploring whether maybe children, you might get these correlations for another reason. A common misconception about the marshmallow task is that it's always best to wait for the second marshmallow. You can probably imagine a lot of situations in which it's actually not. Mm. So if you are a child who does not expect a second marshmallow to ever arrive, or if you're a child who has a strong expectation that there might be some risk of the current marshmallow that you have being taken away, it's actually in your best interest to eat that right away.
Well, now that's interesting. Can I just throw in something there in the sense of the when were the original marshmallow tests carried out?
In the 60s and 70s were the original.
No, just might it be a factor that your average 5 or 6-year-old, say, in the 1960s was a bit more trusting than your average 5 or 6-year-old today? They're all cynical.
I was not around in the 60s and 70s. I was like, that's an empirical question that I think is very interesting. You would expect that all sorts of different things would influence a child's expectations. So, depending on what's going on in the culture or where the child is from, the home situation. So a child that is surrounded by a lot of siblings and who has lots of experience with having their things taken away, you'd expect would have different expectations than an only child who has their own room and all their own things. So that child might be more prone to crying when they do experience something being taken away. It's just very foreign to them. So all sorts of things can play into kids' expectations.
By redesigning the test, you wanted to see about how much they trusted the testers.
Right. Well, we wanted to see if it could be their expectations that explain some of the variance in their wait times. So it could be the case that kids just don't have the executive function. There are some differences, and they can't resist the temptations. But alternatively, it could be that young children are actually making a decision about whether or not to wait on the basis of their expectations about whether waiting or not would be worth it. If that were the case, then you could expect these correlations between wait times and later life outcomes by, it could be the case that kids from unstable environments just have a lot of disadvantages in life, and that's why it's harder for them to get good SAT scores. The marshmallow task is actually measuring something about their belief about the reliability of the world.
When they come into that test, though, uh-huh. is there a method of, if you like, dividing out what expectations they came into the room with,
right.
and perhaps what expectations they have because they've interacted with somebody?
Right. So that's a really interesting question, and it's one that I think is still open. There are probably ways of measuring expectations, but it's hard to fully understand everything that goes into a set of expectations. So rather than doing that, we randomly assign kids to one of two conditions and then manipulated their expectations in the lab in order to get at this question.
Right. Okay. And how did you do that?
So we proceeded the marshmallow test with an activity that was designed to give children evidence that the experimenter who was running the study was either reliable or unreliable. We had them do an art project that was unrelated to, they didn't know the snack portion was coming. I was like, that was later. And during this art project, the experimenter gave them two choices that were really similar to the marshmallow task. So, for example, in the first one, they were told they could either use a less good art material. So it was a jar of well-used crayons. It was like crayons that had been used by a lot of other kids and had some, you know, duplicate colors, mixed colors. So they could use that immediately, or if they wanted to wait until the experimenter left and came back, we had a bigger set that had better stuff in it, so markers and pens and stamps and things like this. And then for half of the kids, I was like, the experimenter came back with the promised art supplies. That was the reliable condition. And for the other half of the kids, when the experimenter came back, she apologized and said that she'd made a mistake. We didn't actually have that second set, and then she helped them play with the first set.
Uh-huh.
And then we did that one more time, but with a set of stickers. So they had like one small sticker they could use, or if they wanted to wait, the experimenter said that we had more better stickers. And then for kids in the reliable condition, she came back with the promised stickers. And for kids in the unreliable condition, she apologized and said she made an error.
That's interesting. So the kids had already been disappointed therefore were kind of set up for further disappointment or to a degree insured themselves against further disappointment by eating the marshmallow as soon as they could.
Right. Yeah. So, children who believed the experimenter was unreliable, like you'd predict, ate the marshmallow very quickly.
Mm.
So in only 3 minutes on average. On the other hand, children who believed the experimenter was reliable, behaved very differently. They held out for four times as long. So they waited for 12 minutes, including the little bitty ones, so the 3-year olds.
Oh.
So it must be the case that it wasn't just an inability to control their impulses. If that were the case, we would have expected for kids in the reliable condition to still have eaten the marshmallow quickly.
Yeah, because you think then that extrapolation from the original test that the kids with the poor impulse control don't do as well in later life, you'd imagine the kid who very quickly learns a lesson that this is an unreliable situation, I'll eat the marshmallow while I can, are perhaps mm-hmm. slightly better equipped to deal with the world. Because they've already shown they're able to adapt to changing situations.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on what I think is one of the most interesting points of this, which is that children appear to be able to readily adapt their behavior to best suit the situation that they're in, which I think is very neat. You don't think of little kids typically as being very sophisticated decision makers, but they're a lot more sophisticated than we'd previously realized.
Celeste, it was lovely to talk to you. And when are you going to be a doctor?
In May, hopefully.
In May.
If everything goes well.
Okay, well, I'm sure it will go well. Thanks very much for talking to us today. That's soon-to-be Dr. Celeste Kidd there from Rochester University. We'll be back with the news.